bring them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Well, we didn't get a four, Bill, but we did get a first-timer. And if it matters, we're now 5 for 5 in the B's. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. With me this week, Jordan Bianchi, he's a B of The Athletic, and Kem Kuhn from the CW and NBC.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Kim, your middle name doesn't start with B or anything, does it?
No, it starts with a C.
Oh, well.
So.
Oh, well. Well, sorry about that. Well, maybe we'll have another B this week in Homestead. There are plenty of opportunities out there for it.
There are, yeah.
It's a driver's track. I love that place. I love that track. I love everything about it. We typically see some of the best racing year in and year out, and it feels very much wide open where a lot of teams have to prove themselves. You look at the standings, a lot of big names and big holes.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the guy that pulled it off at Las Vegas last week, and I didn't check the odds on Josh Berry, but I imagine they were pretty long.
Were long. I think they were like plus 4,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I'd thought about that ahead. Well, of course, I'm not allowed to bet, but I wish I'd thought about that ahead of time, but because I don't think a lot of people had him on their bingo card.
I don't think they did, but at the same time, I feel like he has incrementally gotten better every single cup race he's won since he first got in the cup seat. It was only a matter of time. Now, did we think it was going to be Vegas? Probably not. I think a lot of people, like myself, thought Bell was going to go 4 in a row only because he came up short the last 2 fall races there. He's so good there. But, wow, phenomenal job by Josh Berry. And I love the photo. So the photo after he won and got out and celebrated of him just kind of sitting on top of the hood of the car and the team around. I swear, if you put that in black and white, because it's the Wood Brothers, you wouldn't know if that was taken in 2025 or 1975. I loved it.
I mean, anytime the Wood Brothers win a race, it's one of the most popular victories in the garage. It's like everybody's, we didn't win, but the Wood Brothers won.
Yeah.
And it makes it really just an overwhelming popular victory. And you go back to Daytona last year when they won their 100th. It was like this cavalcade of just visitors in victory lane. And I wasn't in Vegas, but I would imagine it's probably much the same. And you talk about Josh Berry maybe being a surprise. And the Wood Brothers the last few years have been a struggle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be honest. Harrison Burton, outside that Daytona win, they haven't had the results. But the Wood Brothers, if you look at their, they're a team that can make the playoffs. They did it with Ryan Blaney in 2017. They've done it with Paul Menard. They did it with Matty D. This is a team that if they get the pieces to the puzzle right, they can be consistently competitive. They just haven't had the right pieces the last few years. Josh Berry is a very good driver who, if you put him in a spot of stability and surround him with the right people, he can go and be competitive. He had some really good runs last year at Stewart Haas Racing, and then the team basically imploded. And it's a really hard way to spend your rookie year. So it shouldn't be a complete surprise maybe that he's running as well as he did. And let's not lose sight of the fact he finished top 5 at Phoenix, which is a remarkable achievement. So this team isn't like a fluke victory or they got some crazy set of circumstances. They went, ran well at one of the more challenging tracks at Phoenix on the circuit, and then they backed it up by going to Las Vegas and had race-winning speed. This team is here.
My first victory lane was with the Wood Brothers in 2011 when Trevor won.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was like my first year in the sport, and I got to be in victory lane. And so
right,
like nobody's ever mad.
No.
When the Wood Brothers are in victory lane.
Most people at the races, they're all angry and throwing things or whatever. Like, oh, we lost. Right? It's none of that. It's like, oh, the Wood Brothers won?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
We love it.
It doesn't matter the team you drive for, the organization or the manufacturer.
Yeah.
You make a trip to victory lane to congratulate them. That is a really cool thing to see because the Wood Brothers are the foundation of this sport. They have literally been around since NASCAR's was founded.
Well, and I had his pit in Atlanta. And they ran extremely well.
Absolutely.
They were top 10 most of the day in Atlanta.
Won a stage.
And won a stage.
Yeah.
They didn't get the finish that that shows how well they ran, but they've been running well this year, and Josh's been doing very well. Phoenix was really the first time he got the finish to show how well he had been running.
Yeah, again, to Jordan's point, we shouldn't be surprised because, like I said, incrementally we've seen him progress throughout his time in the Cup Series. Now he has stability, and they're a Penske Alliance team, and we know how good Penske is at Phoenix. We know how good they are at Las Vegas. So if he was going to win his first Cup Series race, we should have had Phoenix and or Las Vegas circled, just knowing their alliance team is so strong at both of those racetracks.
And the thing is, Jordan, he came in during the third stage towards the end of a caution period. They came back down pit road, topped off, and tightened a tire. Their left front tire. So it actually put him back in the pack, and he drove right through the field right back to the front.
Fast cars, execution, really good driver who's really good on a variety of tracks. You talk about Atlanta, Super Speedway, Phoenix, flat mile oval, intermediate track at Las Vegas. We're talking about a variety of tracks where Josh Berry has showed his skill set this year. This is a driver we need to pay more attention to. And we're coming up on a series of tracks, Darlington and Bristol, tire management racetracks, where really
short
played
track
his
strength.
Exactly. And he had good runs there last year. This really does feel like the beginning of something special for this team. Obviously, they're in the playoffs now. Looking ahead, this is not a fluke. Like, they deserve this win. They got this win. And honestly, you look at the schedule in the playoffs, feels like they can make some noise.
And Kim, this is a guy that I saw one story, and they kind of referred to him as a journeyman. If you look at his background, you know, he was a substitute driver for a couple of different teams over the years. And then the situation last year where he gets to Stuart Haas, you think this could be a great opportunity. And then they decide to shut down midway through the season, which none of us will ever understand where there are really know where that team could have gone if they hadn't had the rug pulled out from them by ownership.
Sure. Well, I think that if SHR hadn't been shutting down and they hadn't lost so many brilliant minds that just took other positions for their longevity in the sport, we could have certainly been talking about him winning last year because he was so close at so many races, had speed so many different times and just fell short. But yeah, we talk about Josh Berry as a little bit of a journeyman, but I think some people also don't give him some of the credit he deserves. Like, to some people who may not be paying attention, he might seem like a bit of an overnight success. You know, it's his second full-time season in the Cup Series, wins a race. But you think about all the time and effort he put into racing late models, came up through the pipeline before he even made a start in the Xfinity Series. And so people that have been paying attention to grassroots racing have had Josh Berry on their radar for a very long time. I mean, Dale Jr. essentially handpicked him. And so it should come as no surprise he's finding success now. And it's definitely not overnight success. He has been working nose to the grindstone for a very long time.
He is a throwback to an era where drivers didn't get their first opportunity full-time in the Cup Series until their 30s. He's now 34 years old. He was a rookie last year at age 33, which is, in this time in space, is old.
Yeah.
I mean, rookies are coming into the Cup Series.
Isn't that Joey Logano's age?
Exactly.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see Connor Zilich next year in the Cup Series. He'll be 19. Like, it doesn't
look at
happen.
Ty Gibbs, William Byer, Joey Logano. I mean, the list is long of drivers who come in 18, 19, early 20s. Berry didn't get his first really full-time opportunity until 33. He came up the grassroots, old-school way, show your hand on the short tracks, get a ride, get an opportunity, make the most of it. And I don't know if journeyman is the word I would use to describe it. More like hard luck.
Yeah.
Like, you look at his career, like, he showed flashes with Junior Motorsport. They couldn't find sponsorship for him. We couldn't run him full-time. Wins an Xfinity Series race at Martinsville on a part-time basis. They still couldn't find a full-time ride for him. Finally got it. Makes the most of that opportunity. Is the hand-picked successor to Kevin Harvick at Stuart Haas Racing. And you're like, okay, good for Josh. There's a great opportunity. Rodney Childers is crew chief. They're off. Team blows up. You know, no fault of his own. And then he goes to the Wood Brothers, like, okay, this is an opportunity here, but it felt like a rebuilding project. And they were going to take some time. I personally thought, like, 2026 was going to be an opportunity for them. They showed their hand far sooner than I expected, but now they did, and it's really a testament to Josh that he's doing this. And he's in a stable situation now where he knows he's not having to fight for his, you know, livelihood in his ride for next year. He's got a multi-year contract. He's a race winner. Penske likes him. The Wood Brothers love him. Ford loves him. He's found a home, finally.
And we shouldn't really be surprised Vegas was the place he won, because he did win two Xfinity races in Vegas.
Yeah. Again, we should not be surprised. We are surprised because, you know, I don't know that his odds were great and that sort of thing, but he won there in Xfinity. And then again, to my point about he's a Penske affiliate, Penske is so strong at Las Vegas and at Phoenix, where he ran well 2 weeks ago. So, again, the sky's the limit for Josh Berry. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins multiple races this season.
But, and the thing is, when you got a new driver and a new crew chief with Miles Stanley, we always feel like it's going to take a while for these guys to get on the same page. But, Jordan, it seems like these guys are meshing almost right out of the box.
They have. I mean, it helps that you've got so much time in the simulator and things like that. And Miles comes over from Team Penske, which is, you know, part of it. He was a longtime engineer over there, so there's a lot of familiarity there. It's not like Miles is just jumping into a situation he doesn't know. This is, you know, largely a turnkey situation for him. And Josh is a quick learner. It's somebody who has had to adapt to a lot of different situations. He's a Hendrick fill-in driver, 48, the 9, you know, fill-in guy at the Spire at one time. he knows how to get into a race car and quickly acclimate and do well. So they're up to speed quickly. And now, again, to Kim's point, we're coming into a series of racetracks that really fit his skill set, where tire management is a big thing. Darlington, Bristol come to mind. It's going to be interesting to see what this team does.
Well, each week on the Pit Reporters, we give you a chance to go to goprn.com and vote in our poll. And this week's question is, well, Josh Berry is now off the table as far as first-time winners. Who do you think will be the next first-time winner? Here are your choices. Ty Gibbs, Carson Hocevar, John Hunter Nemechek, or Ryan Preece. Last week we asked you, should NASCAR run the option tire more often? And it's overwhelming. 72% said yes, 28% said no. When we come back, I'm going to ask Kim and Jordan who they think the next first-time winner will be. And also, Seabell didn't get his fourth straight, but he did find himself in a little bit of controversy. We'll talk about that when we come back.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name. Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Jimmie Johnson.
Yeah.
Where's his place in all of this?
So I look at Jimmie Johnson, and maybe I have a little bit different perspective because I grew up with Richard Petty while he was winning all of his championships and stuff. And it was tough. It's tough to win championships. I mean, so many great drivers, as we go back in time, won lots of races and never won championships. So many great drivers won lots of races, never won Daytona. Those big moments, they just couldn't get over that hump. So to win seven, no matter how you win seven, is amazing. I believe, and I have said this a million times on a million different occasions, Jimmie Johnson's five in a row is the most underrated record in all of sports. It gets very little attention, very little attention. We talk about Tiger Woods winning all these majors. We talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. You talk about everything that Richard Petty has done, everything Dale Earnhardt Sr. has done. Five in a row, nobody's done five in a row.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic and Kim Kuhn from the CW and NBC Sports, I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, I asked the question going into the break, Jordan, who do you think the next first-time winner will be? The fans have been given four choices. You're not limited to that. We only have room for four on the internet, but hey. What do you think?
The two obvious names to me that jump out are Ty Gibbs and Carson Hocevar. You look at both of them. Ty, especially last year, was close several times. Hocevar has got a lot of speed, not necessarily the finishes that correspond with it. One of those who jump out to me, if I had to guess, I would say Ty Gibbs just because he's with Joe Gibbs Racing. I know he's in a slump. I know this isn't his season is right now. But when you're with Joe Gibbs Racing, you can turn it around on a dime. I think he's got a better opportunity right now to win. And experience does matter a little bit. Ty is closing in on that 100 start mark, which is a really big number for a lot of drivers. Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, William Byron. I wouldn't be surprised to see Ty get into victory lane at some point this year.
I'm going to disagree because I think that slump's going to work against him. Sure. I think he's at like 10 consecutive finishes outside the top 15. Like, we haven't seen him get a top 15 since early October of last year.
Oh, it's bad.
It's bad. And I feel like he's the type of driver that falls into that trap of like just the snowball, the bad mindset, bad mojo. I agree with Hocevar, though. I think, A, he doesn't care what anybody thinks. He's not afraid to ruffle feathers. Now, how he gets that win, who knows? He might piss off a couple drivers doing it. Another driver I had that wasn't on the list, Riley Herbst. I know he hasn't had a great start to the season with 23-11. I could see him winning like a super speedway race only because he's proven himself. He's earned the respect on those type of tracks in the Cup Series, even when he was thrown in the seat a couple times last year. So I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about Riley Herbst in Winner's Circle at one of those racetracks.
I mean, I could throw Noah Gregson's name on there too. Noah is one of those guys who's running really well this year. Doesn't have the finishes. Ran well at Vegas and had a late tire failure and hit the wall. Zane Smith has had his moments as well. Todd Gilliland is really sneaky on the super speedway and the drafting track and road courses. I mean, there was a time not too long ago you looked at the, like, there's really not a lot of candidates for first-time winners.
No, there's a lot.
It's an increasingly long list, which is good to see because you like to see new young talent injected into the sport.
Well, and that's the thing. It's funny because we had that situation with Christopher Bell, and it's funny. You begin to wonder how many straight wins before fans start to turn on you. Because you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think it depends on who the driver is getting the wins.
Yeah.
How many wins consecutively is also a factor. I love history. So it was cool for me to see Bell get three in a row. He's the first driver to do that in this generation of car. Four would have been really cool. So I'm all for like people breaking records and history making things. So I'm never usually one to like be like, oh. Now, if you have to interview them back to back to back after their win, that can get a little monotonous. So I think it's very contingent upon which driver you're talking about and then how many consecutive wins.
You look at Kyle Larson in 2021, not once but twice he won three straight races. Fans didn't really seem to revolt against him because Kyle, quote unquote, did the right way. He's a kind of, you know, he's one of those guys who barnstorms around the country and races different dirt tracks. I think Christopher Bell fits that mold where fans like him.
Yeah.
He's very humble, very unassuming, isn't bodacious on the racetrack, doesn't make any big moves that really angers other drivers. He's a very clean driver. We saw that at COTA.
Yep.
And so it's kind of how you win. Now, if you win three straight races and you're slamming guys out of the way, yeah, fans are going to turn on you. But when you're Christopher Bell and now you can go dirt track racing and you kind of just tip your cap and say, hey, I want to be a clean race car driver, fans respect that a little bit. So I think fans are on his side for right now. Now you start winning all of the time.
Yeah. Or you're Joey Logano, which seems to be nobody's favorite.
Yeah, but again, my point though, Logano did it in a way that like he was pushing guys out of the way. No disrespect. That it worked for him. Like Matt Kenseth at Kansas in 2015, which set everything up. When you win that manner, people are going to get mad at you.
My only concession is if you are winning multiple races in a row, I want the same enthusiasm from the first win in that consecutive string to the last win in that consecutive string. Because when it becomes, you know, ho-hum for the driver that's actually winning, that's when you're like, get this guy out of here. Like, you want to see the same excitement win after win after win.
But then you had Jimmy Johnson, who, for the most part, raced clean.
Sure.
But he just won, in the fans' eyes, darn much.
Sure. You know, you win seven championships, you win 84 races. Yeah, that can,
he's
get
New England Patriot.
Exactly. Like, Bell's got a little bit of way to go a little bit before that. But again, I think it does help that he races the dirt stuff because fans like to see that. When you go race the grassroots level stuff, they're like, hey, that's my guy. He's willing to go race around the country on some random night somewhere at some dusty dirt track.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Bell, he did not get his fourth straight win. But, Kim, he was running. He never really ran great at Las Vegas. He had things kind of going in the right direction, but then they ran into a situation where they had a loose tire and his crew chief, as he's leaving the pits, Adam Stevens noticed that the tire was loose. So we had him pull into a teammate's pit down pit road, that was Chase Briscoe's, and had them tighten it. The NASCAR penalized him for pitting outside the box and put him at the tail end of the line. Since then, I've heard a number of fans calling in, especially to Sirius, complaining that that's just not fair. He shouldn't have done that. That there should be a bigger penalty for something like that. How do you feel about that?
I disagree wholeheartedly with the fans. I woke up on Monday morning still thinking about that call by Adam Stevens. The fact that he realized it, had the foresight to tell his driver it needed to be tightened before he left pit road. And we know the penalty is much steeper if you lose a wheel. And so they were up against that. So it's like, do we pit outside the box and just go to the tail end of the lead lap? Or do we have ahead of us the possibility of losing a wheel, losing two crew members, losing multiple laps? I thought it was a stroke of genius. You can't really reward them for that. The reward is that they don't get a worse penalty. There should not be more penalty to what he did. I think that what they served pitting outside the box. Now, if you want to call it something different, that's fine. So people don't get caught up on like the semantics of it. If they want to call it something being, I don't know what you would call it, so be it. But I do not think if you're smart enough to prevent a wheel from falling off by doing something like that, the penalty was fine how it was.
Both things can be true. I think Adam Stevens probably isn't getting enough credit for the brilliant in the moment decision he made.
Like split second.
Quickly yeah. realizing I have never heard a crew chief ever have the fortitude to say, and the presence of mind to say, hey, I need you to pit right away. We've got a loose wheel. Incredible. And Adam Stevens deserves all the credit yeah. in the world for making that decision in the heat of the moment. And Christopher Bell driving across four lanes of traffic to find a pit stall, like my grandmother, you know, on the yeah. highway.
and Adam communicating to the other team. Exactly. Like,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, great execution. Great in the heat of the moment. I love that. And kudos to them for doing that. That said, it feels a little odd to me because it's almost against the spirit of the rule, right? Because Joe Gibbs Racing has four teams, which mm-hmm. they're only one of two teams that have four. So they have more opportunity to have a safety net, if you will. Whereas if it's a single car team, we're talking about the Wood Brothers, or we're talking about, you know, one of the other teams out there that maybe only have two cars, like they have less opportunity to overcome that mistake because they have less cars and they have less teammates. So like, it's just the spirit yeah, of the rule a little bit.
I get that. But like, you could lean on a manufacturer team.
Maybe. But you can't communicate directly. A lot of them that you can't direct.
True.
So you pull into some manufacturer, you're like, what's going on here? And it looks like the Keystone Cop. Like, it just, it's a weird thing. This is a team sport, and we're supposed to, you know, segment the 19 team and the 20 team and the 11 team and the 54 team. Like, they're supposed to be separate on Sundays. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, no, they have an advantage. They've got a numbers advantage that the other teams don't have. So I wouldn't be shocked if NASCAR maybe clarifies this a little bit.
It calls it something different.
And says the team, listen, sorry. In this situation, Christopher, you're going to have to stop on pit road. Like, yeah. you're stop, let everybody go by, yeah. and then I'm going to need you to back into your yeah. pit stall that way instead of pulling into some random pit stall. Like, just because we can't set up an unfair advantage that you guys have over most everyone else.
I see what you're saying. I mean, I see what you're saying, but and I'll throw in another element here, because I will preface this by saying I agree with Kim, and sure. I think there's a safety issue. If I would rather have him do what he did than go back out on the track and have it fall off.
I 100% agree. I do want issue. I don't go back on the racetrack.
Yeah.
Don't go, because then you set yourself up for a penalty. Not only is it a safety issue because you lose your wheel.
Yeah.
Then you set yourself up for 2-lap penalty, and then you lose two crew members of suspension. But if I'm that team and I'm that situation, I'm telling them, like, listen, you got to stop.
Yeah.
Stop on the pit somewhere where it's safe. Let everybody go. And then you're going to back up into your pit stall. And then you don't incur that penalty. So,
but he also had the advantage of he was, like,
yeah,
the fourth pit stall in.
Yeah. And he had the yeah. advantage
it was
that
very
if he'd been at the other, if he'd been at the other end of pit
he's
road,
he's got no chance.
He has no
but
chance.
Again, he also has the advantage he's got multiple teammates. And he had multiple teammates down pit road as you're cruising down there looking for them, because if he hadn't.
I wonder what he would have done if he didn't. Like, would Adam have said stop and just wait?
I don't want to put words in Adam's mouth. My guess is his presence of mind would have been like, I need you to stop on the right, you know, stop on pit road somewhere safe, and then we're going to let him back up down. It's just, it's a really weird situation. And again, maybe we're talking about something none of us have really seen before. Like, I've never heard a crew chief say this, so maybe it's just a once in a blue moon thing.
Well, that's the thing. It's,
but this does happen. We saw a lot of loose wheels, and we're seeing them. We see them a lot on intermediate racetracks. So I do feel like a situation like this could arise again somewhere down the road.
I wonder if Adam even had thought of that previously, because the number of loose wheels we've seen and in the last couple of weeks, that in his head he's like, if I'm in this situation, and they've had a loose wheel in the past too, if he thought about it in those instances, can I do this? But I mean, we haven't seen anything like that. I mean, the closest thing, but it's completely different. Like, we've seen in safety instances, whether it's a car catching fire or somebody needing help, you know, teams stopping in other teams' boxes to get that help from the crews.
Yeah.
That's a different scenario. But, you know, if we liken this to it could have been a safety issue, it's kind of similar. But
you have a
good point, though.
It was a bizarre situation, because I was covering his pit. And Kim, as you know, Las Vegas has a curved pit road.
Yeah.
So you can't see from one end of pit road. You can see about a dozen pits. And that's about all you can see.
Yeah.
And our producer, Laura Best, says to me, Christopher Bell just pitted in Chase Briscoe's pit. And I went, no, he just pitted in his own pit.
He did both.
I'm going, no. She goes, no, he just pulled into Briscoe's pit. I'm going, what? So I had to go down to back down to Bell's Pit to find out what had happened. Because I had said this made no sense to me that she just told me that he'd pitted it because he just pitted in his own pit. No, that must be a mistake.
Yeah.
So then I found out all that happened. But it was, you know, I just don't know that I would look for an increased penalty a greater penalty go with that because of the safety issue that was avoided, but you make some good points. There's
a competitive advantage that they had because they had multi cars. Like, so there's a balance.
And because as we talked about, he also was at the entrance to pit road rather than the exit of pit road.
So I don't know. Yeah. It's an interesting thing.
It is. Again, I think maybe you call it something different. And if you're a single car team, maybe like you still can stop in another team's box. That other team could service it if they want. Maybe. But they're going to go slower. But, they're not going to competitively change it. Or
it's a fascinating set of circumstances.
Yeah, because you do have a situation where a lot of times the spotters do communicate between themselves.
Sure. Yeah.
So you could have
it. Would just take slower.
It's just going to take a little bit more time. Yeah. But at that point, it doesn't matter anyway because you've got to serve a penalty and you got to drop the longest line.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So as long as you get it tight and it doesn't fall off.
I guess.
Exactly. So we've solved absolutely nothing.
No, we haven't.
All right. When we come back, I think we saw a heck of an Xfinity race for the second straight week between a regular and a veteran. Well, they're both veterans. But this time, the guy that has all of a sudden been checking off a lot of boxes he hadn't been able to check off before picks up the win. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things? Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here, right now, today, to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about this, but imagine how great your life could be. And all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number because here it comes.
800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Paid for by the Detox Treatment Helpline.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
If you have a chance to make a difference in a kid's life, you need to take full advantage of that opportunity.
For those kids to know somebody has their back, somebody is caring about them, thinking about them when they feel like nobody is.
Anything that I can do now to support Speedway Children's Charities, I do because I've seen the work firsthand.
We owe it to children, no matter where they come from.
Unfortunately, there is no end to some of the terrible atrocities in our world. Speedway Children's Charities can feel really good that we are getting the most good out of every dollar that's given. At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Because their future is our future.
And there's still so much they can teach us.
Find out more at speedwaycharities.org. Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back, along with Kim Kuhn from the CWNBC Sports and also Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. I tell you, for the second straight week, actually goes further back than that, I think we've had great Xfinity races all year long, Kim.
Absolutely.
And of course, yeah, you're exclusively for the first part of the year Xfinity racing.
Yeah.
And I tell you, Almirola and Justin Allgaier put on a heck of a show at Las Vegas. And we were talking before the show, and Justin Allgaier had 7 finishes at Las Vegas of second or third and had never won until this past weekend.
Yeah, I was holding my breath in those last few laps, just like, oh my gosh, is a caution going to come out? What's going to happen? Especially because including Phoenix the weekend before, I think I saw a stat where he's gotten past for the win or for the lead in like 4 of the last 6 races. And I was like, oh. So I was so happy. I was thrilled. But again, holding my breath, I was like, certainly this is not going to go his way. A caution's going to come out. a tire is going to blow like it did last spring for him, something. But maybe his luck has turned finally.
It's interesting to see him just continue to check off a lot of firsts. Obviously, the first Xfinity Series Championship a year ago, wins for the first time at Las Vegas. And we talk so much about a lot of the young talent in the Xfinity Series, which is awash in young talent, right?
Yeah.
It seems like every week we're
90% of the field.
And again, justify, I mean, Carson Kwapel had a great run. Connor Zilich had a great run. I mean, like, there's so many young drivers in that series. And here's Justin Allgaier continually proving himself time and time again that he is one of the best in this series, and he's going to go down in history as one of the best in the Xfinity Series, and it's good to see. He's an easy guy to root for.
Yeah, 9 consecutive seasons, I think, now with a win.
Yeah, does that tie the record?
I think it ties or it's close to the record. It might tie it with, like, Kyle Busch. There's a couple in that.
Yeah, Kyle Busch, Mark Martin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, and it's, like you guys said, he's such a nice young man. I say young man. He's a nice guy.
He still feels young to me. I know he's got 2 kids. He's been in the series forever. He's driven Cup too. But, like, I don't know. He still feels young.
Everybody's young compared to me. But
I feel old. Don't worry about it.
But, I mean, and he is. He's such a class act, and he's an easy guy to root for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to see him battle with Almirola, especially, like you said, after it happened at Phoenix the week before, where he was in position to win the thing until the late caution comes out. But yeah, it was so good to see him, because I talked to him pre-race and I said, you know, you got 7 finishes of second or third. Well, I said, what's it going to take to get that 1 or 2 spots better here? He goes, well, you know, it took me 7 chances to win the championship, so maybe this is the time.
There you go. And lucky 7.
Indeed it was. But, you know, you guys talk about the young talent, and, you know, my question going in, I mean, you look at, you know, at Connor Zilich and these guys that get a lot of attention for being good, like, say, for instance, on road courses. And the question I have going in is, all right, now that we're past the first 3 races of the year, a lot of the teams were saying, all right, it's going to take Phoenix and Las Vegas and Homestead till we really find out what we have as far as cars go.
Mm-hmm.
I think for these guys, we're going to find out where their talent level really lies on ovals, because we've seen what they can do on super speedways and on road courses. But now we're beginning to see what their young talent is on kind of what's the bread and butter of this series.
Yeah, and I don't think there's really any boundaries to their talent. If we're talking about, you know, Connor Zilich, Carson Kwapel, Connor impressed me wildly. I don't know if you saw his qualifying lap. I don't know if it's bravery or stupidity. It was wild. He almost lost it, but he kept it. And honestly, if he hadn't had that moment, he hadn't qualifying, he probably would have had the pole by a lot. And then he just learned so fast. And if you talk with Marty Lindley, who's his crew chief this year, he talks about how he's such a sponge. We know that. But, like, he's 18 and he's got so much maturity. Like, Marty's not having to remind him, like, oh, look at the SMT or what's your, like, post-race thoughts. Like, he's doing all these things organically just because that's in his nature. And again, if he didn't have that speeding penalty on pit road during the Vegas race, he might have won that thing or at least given Justin a run for his money. And then same with Carson. Like, Carson impressed last year on some of the ovals, and then this past weekend, just through no fault of the team's own, because they had a gas can that was wedged from another team under their left rear, it messed up their fueling cycle. He ended up being like 8 laps short, had to pit. Otherwise, he would have had like a top 5 finish, if not maybe like a top 3. So I actually am looking at it from the perspective of, I'm not waiting to be impressed by them. I think each and every week they can impress me. I'm like waiting for them not to show up. Like, when's the week where we don't talk about them and why?
Yeah, when's the week that they're not going to have bad luck?
Yeah.
Or self-inflicted mistakes. Yeah. But they're young drivers, that happens, right?
And Carson's had
speed every week, but he has just had terrible luck. I mean, you have some guy's random gas can coming into your car. Nothing you can do about that, right?
Yeah.
It just feels like these guys are really coming in their own. And to your point of the bread and butter tracks, I think there's something to be said for that. You start the year with 2 drafting tracks, you go to a road course, you're like, okay. But now you're going to what we call more traditional tracks. You got Phoenix, Las Vegas, you got Homestead this week, Martinsville upcoming, you know, Bristol's around the corner. This is an opportunity to really kind of show what your skill set is. Because if you're going to be an all-around race car driver and a successful Cup Series driver, you need to be good everywhere. And this is an opportunity to showcase that skill set. We know Connor Zilich is going to be on the good in the road courses, but he does need to, you know, he does need experience on the ovals. He is getting that, though. And Carson Kwapel is as well. These guys are continuing to move into their own. They're going to win races, and that's plural, and they're going to have opportunities at the higher level. And I wouldn't, like to Kim's point earlier, it's a matter of when, not if, that Connor Zilich is full-time in the Cup Series.
We got some guys going to Homestead way down in the point standings. How long before they begin to get concerned? Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
It's not about the cars, the speed, the action. It's not about the party or the long weekend. It's about them, the ones that gave everything. This Memorial Day weekend, we honor the fallen at America's Home for Racing.
The 66th running of the Coca-Cola 600.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Denny Hamlin slides up. He gets into the fence a little bit off of turn three. We will see if he is able to sustain that.
So suddenly things change dramatically. The two youngsters for JGR, now the veterans that are occupying the top two spots in turn three.
Hamlin out front for the 11th time today.
Denny Hamlin gives up the lead.
Side by side going into one. Truex down low, Hamlin up high.
Three wide in front of him. On the bottom is Chastain. Up top is Austin Dillon with Gilliland in the middle.
It's Bristol, baby.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Sweepstakes fans, start your entries. Visit echopark.com/speedway to enter for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra plus a brand new Thor camper. Visit echopark.com/speedway now and you can drive off a winner. And welcome back to the Pit Reporters, along with Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic and Kim Kuhn from the CW and NBC. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. There are some guys still mired well down in the standings, Jordan, five races into the season. You know, we were talking in the Xfinity series. You know, you got the two super speedways, you had the road course, and then we've had two races at more normal, quote-unquote, tracks. And you still got guys, I mean, you know, Brad Keselowski had a better run last week, but he's still sitting there 30th in the standings. Noah Gregson's 33rd, Ty Gibbs 34th. At what point do these guys start to get concerned?
It depends on the situation. I mean, speed is the cure-all in the sport, right? If you have speed and you can go win races, where you are in points largely doesn't matter because you're playoff bound, but you've got to win. And honestly, if you look at these guys, maybe Brad has had an opportunity to win a race this year. I won the drafting tracks. SVG had his flash at COTA, but then he faded at the late there. I think they're going to be okay. I wouldn't hit the panic button yet, but I am concerned. And I'm more concerned about how you're running, though, consistently. I look at Ty Gibbs. The speed hasn't been there. It hasn't been there really since until last fall. They've been on this long skid now, that 54 team. What are they doing? How do you pull out of this? Brad, I think, is going to have opportunities. And I'm looking at SVG, who's, you know, 31st in points. He's still got road courses coming up. I still think he's going to be very good in Mexico City, obviously good at Sonoma, Watkins Glen, at various places. But if you're resting your playoff hopes on winning a road course race, you only got four more opportunities, and that's not a lot. And so your margin is very small. I wouldn't panic yet, but I am definitely alarmed.
No, I wouldn't panic. I probably wouldn't even sound the alarm just yet. I don't know. It was ingrained in me since my first year in the sport, like 15 years ago, like, you didn't really measure the success of a team until after All-Star. Yes, you thought like, oh, the first like five races once we got past like Daytona and stuff. But that's when like the summer stretch starts and you really have to like turn up the wick. So that's to me, I'm like, let's get through the next like 8 weeks, 8 to 10 weeks, and then kind of see where people shuffle out because so much could happen. We look at the different types of tracks we're going to, Martinsville, Darlington, Bristol, Miami, like, and winning does cure all. And as you look at the Cup Series, the competition is so tight in terms of the number of drivers that could win. Like, you look at the top 35 in points, and yeah, sure, you might be deep in the points and 30-something, but I would make a case that anybody ranked 1 through 35 in the points has a shot at some point before the playoffs at winning a race.
We saw it last year with Harrison Burton.
Yeah.
We saw it with Chase Briscoe at Darlington. I mean, we have seen opportunities for surprise winners to emerge from various circumstances. So panic, maybe not yet, but certainly alarming. Like, you want to have some level of consistency and at least continually put yourself in position where it's not a crapshoot of, man, we need to get lucky here at some track.
Well, Kim, you talked earlier about Ty Gibbs, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and you often hear drivers say, I'm not worried, I have speed. But Ty Gibbs is a guy, and you talked about it, going back, 10 races, they don't have a top 15 mm-hmm. finish. And, you know, new crew chief combination with him. You know, he even had trouble at, you know, he ran the sprint car race at the Las Vegas dirt track.
Yeah, but he made the A-main.
He made the A-main.
So we got to give him credit for that.
And then, yeah, his first sprint car race, and then on the first lap of the A-main, he flips the car.
Yeah.
So his confidence was boosted, and then,
Yeah. Which I'll be interested to see because I don't know that he's running a ton of Xfinity Series races this year. I'd have to look in that 19 car.
I think he's running a handful just
a
because
handful,
he's got
not
eligible.
A ton,
no.
Yeah. But it was interesting because in the past years when he was running those and not performing and not winning because, you know, he's a champion of the Xfinity Series and expected to come back and just like dominate, that, again, to the snowball effect, he would have a bad day on Saturday and I would talk to his crew chief, Chris Gale, at the time and he would be like, he needs to be able to separate when he's not performing well outside of the Cup Series. And so that can be advantageous, but it also can be detrimental. So I'll be curious to see when he starts getting in the Xfinity car some, like if he's having the same problem this year where like if he doesn't win, it kind of cripples him on Sunday.
I feel like he just needs a stretch of whether it's Xfinity Series or sprint car.
Of just like winning
just
something.
Success.
Yeah.
I mean, just finishing races well at this point would be a plus. And that's where they're struggling right now. And it's not just that they're having bad luck and they're having, you know, things are happening where they're knocking themselves out of a top 10 finish. They're not having speed most weeks. That's mm-hmm. the problem. And so it feels like every single week they're having to play catch up. And in the middle of the race, they're behind the eight ball. And then it's a mad scramble to get ahead. And at that point, it's too late. And then combined with some bad luck along the way, at Phoenix, they had a brake rotor.
Like the first
yeah.
few laps.
And
it was
so,
like soon into it.
And Coda got into it. You know, Denny Hamlin made contact on lap one. So it's just all of these things right now just kind of converging where it's just that you look at it and you're like, man, this is just the season from hell right now. At some point, when is this going to turn around?
When it rains, it pours.
Exactly.
Kind of
yeah.
yeah.
And then for them to move up, though, you've got to have other people who are having better runs come back to them. And yet, you know, okay, so Josh Berry is their 13th in points, but Josh Berry also has a win now,
sure.
so you know
yeah.
he's in the playoffs, and or we assume he's in the playoffs.
He's in the playoffs.
And he's been running well. Michael McDowell's been running more consistently,
mm-hmm.
qualifying well, obviously had the pole at Las Vegas. John Hunter Nemechek has been quietly having a very good year.
Hanging on.
He's sitting there 15th right now. You know, does he come back to the pack? You know, Kyle Busch, 17th. Ryan Preece had a great run at Las Vegas. Very quietly had a great run at Las Vegas, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's sitting there 18th in points. And Daniel Suarez had a really good run at Las Vegas. So, I mean, the question is, do these guys start to come back to the guys who are way down in points?
Well, the thing is, we're five races in. The regular season is 26 races. We still have a lot of racing to do. And the number of times we've looked at this points chart early in the season only to have it completely shuffle when it gets down to, you know, the last few races of the regular season where we're looking at who's going to make the playoffs. Like, yeah, Bell won three in a row, but they could have a summer slump. Yes, they're going to be up there in points just because of their wins, but, like, anything at this point can happen.
A lot of racing left to do, but I do think it's critical for guys, you know, who are with teams that we didn't expect to be in the playoffs. You got to get points when you can get them. It doesn't matter where during the regular season you can rack them up. You need to rack up points and to maintain that spot, because the likelihood is that there's going to be one or two spots available for guys who don't have wins. You've got to put yourself in contention for that. You need every point you can get, which is why when you have a Daniel Suarez crash out at COTA and crash out at Phoenix, no fault of his own there, but still crashed out, you look at those as missed opportunities, because those are two races you had top 10 speed and you didn't get the corresponding finishes. That's a struggle. John Hrnčević has done a really good job this year of finishing races, which is something he struggled with bad last year. Had a lot of DNFs, an excessive number of DNFs. They're now finishing races. They're finishing races well, and they're getting a lot more points. You got to continue to carry that on, though. A lot of racing left. You can afford to have one or two bad races, but you can't afford to have too many than that.
Now, when we come back, do we get a great race at Homestead to make it 6-for-6 this year? Stay with us.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. That's 800-393-5045.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Time to pull down on the handle and start rolling them here at Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
The green flag flies at the Atlanta Motor Speedway.
We're about to contest the Coca-Cola 600.
We're racing at Texas Motor Speedway.
Now Keselowski goes way up the racetrack.
Here comes Harrison Burton. He rockets to the lead.
Trouble. Car goes around. It's Chris Buescher.
Joey Logano battles to the outside. They come back to the start-finish line.
Bubba Wallace looks inside. And now here's Byron. Takes a quick left to block him. They head back to one.
Here goes Ross Chastain. He's going to the bottom of the racetrack.
Bubba goes up. Blaney hits the outside wall off of turn two.
Can Christopher Bell do anything with him? He gets down to the bottom of the racetrack.
Briscoe dives to the bottom of the racetrack. Side by side, they get loose. They spin. Now Tyler Reddick does a 360. So does Briscoe.
Heading into turn number seven as he wraps it around. The crowd is cheering for Daniel Suarez here on this final lap.
Allmendinger gets into Alex Bowman. Ross Chastain back out to the front for the final time.
This is PRN.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Jordan Bianchi's here. Kim Coons here. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. And I tell you, Jordan, I don't think many people would argue. We've had five really good races so far this year in the Cup Series. And Homestead usually produces something pretty good.
Great racing to start the year. I mean, really, Daytona, from Daytona to Atlanta to Dakota to Phoenix to Las Vegas. It's been really, really good. Great storylines developing, and it seems like Bell's won three races. Still, it's an amazing storyline in and of itself. Competition's been good. Some new faces up front. We just ran through the list of drivers who have, you know, kind of unexpected guys running well. Mm-hmm. I don't think NASCAR really could be any happier with where they're at right now. A lot of momentum, good racing on the racetrack, and going into a series of racetracks. You mentioned Homestead. We got Bristol, Martinsville upcoming. I think we're in for a good stretch here.
Kim, who do you like as you look at Homestead this week, and what do you expect? I mean, this is a track that seems to produce pretty good racing.
Oh, it produces great racing. Cautionary tale, though. We learned last year, never leave the top lane at Homestead Open in the Cup Series. For whatever reason, the Xfinity Series, Austin Hill last year was able to work the bottom line and wrap the bottom and use different lanes. Still, but usually crazy. You make speed. That was crazy. Usually, though, you make speed at the wall. Ryan Blaney, again, cautionary tale. Do not leave the top lane at Homestead Miami Open in the closing laps. My big question for this weekend, though, is because we are moving Homestead from out of the playoffs into the regular season, does that produce an effect where we see more risks being taken because there's not playoffs on the line, so they can kind of be a little bit more aggressive using that top lane, finding the wall? Or on the flip side, does it make them the opposite? Like, what is going to happen because it's not in the playoffs? Because we've seen some wild moves in playoff races, and people are willing to take risk in playoff races, but they also sometimes play it safe. So which are we going
to
get?
Well, let me tell you this. I just talked to a couple drivers who actually were asked that question, and William Byron said, I'm actually glad to see this race move to the spring for the fact that I feel like we can hang it out more.
Okay.
Because this isn't a playoff race or a championship race, you don't necessarily have to be as cautious. Where the stakes are so grave, if you make a mistake, your playoff hopes are done with. Now in the spring, because you've got, you know, 20 other races, you have a little bit more opportunity to play with a little bit, where a points leader like William Byron can go, hey, I'm willing to hang it out here and run against the wall for a longer period of time, or take a bigger chance. Because if I hit the wall or something happens, like, in the grand scheme of things, I'm not really out a little bit. I thought that was an interesting take, though, because I didn't think about it that way, where you have more opportunity to do things. And Ryan Blaney echoed the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
But would we have seen a move like we saw in last year's Homestead Miami race when it's a regular season race?
I think so in that situation, because Tyler Reddick was in a must-win scenario. Yeah. He didn't have anything to lose. Yeah. His playoff hopes hinged on him winning one of two races at Homestead or Martinsville, where he's effectively terrible. He was in a situation he had nothing to lose, whereas Blaney was trying to be a little bit more, maybe, you know, hedging a little bit because he was looking at the big picture. So it's going to be interesting to see. Now, personally, Homestead in the playoffs is the way it's going.
I mean, I want to see it back in the playoffs.
Yeah,
so
We'll see.
Outside of the level of aggression, how much difference will moving it to the spring be?
I mean, the track is going to be conceivably slicker, a little bit, you know, hotter temperature. The Homestead race, especially towards the end of that race, a little bit, the sun sets a little bit. It's going to be interesting to see what that does for the track in terms of tire wear and everything. It's still Homestead. It's still a multi-groove racetrack. I'm excited for it.
Still wears tires out.
Absolutely.
Again, the sun won't be setting as early as we see in the fall, so you'll have a little bit more sunlight, so it will be slicker. They'll be using it more. And honestly, that helps the drivers from the perspective of, like, they're not going to deal with the sun setting. Because we think about all of the cars being taped out along the top of the windshield because they have to battle that sun setting. I don't think we're going to have that situation when we go down there this weekend.
It'll change.
It's good. I love Homestead.
I like it mixing it around. Like, I know that's not really conducive to getting fans at the racetrack, because they like to bank on, well, I know we're going to be racing at this track this time of year, but it's nice to see Homestead in the spring just to mix things up. To our point, like, we don't know what we're going to see racing wise. Like, they're willing to take more risks apparently, but I want to see it back in the playoffs. But I just like the idea of tracks bouncing around a little bit.
There's something to be said for that. Keeping it fresh and rotating playoffs in it, the tracks in and out of the playoffs. So Watkins Glen, where now this year New Hampshire's coming in, Darlington's going back, Gateway's going in, Talladega's moving to the third round, Homestead's out. There's something to be said for that. There are some tracks, personally, and I don't mean to harp on this, but like, Homestead is the epitome of a driver's track. It's where the best drivers have an opportunity to showcase their skill. You don't see fluke winners there. And to me, that's what I want to see in the playoffs at the end of the year. And it seems like the fan response in terms of ticket sales and everything else is more receptive to a fall date than a spring date.
Well, and like you talked about, Kim, the one thing for sure that we think is for sure is rim riding will be the way to go.
Well, for sure, when you, especially on the Cup side, the guys in the field, we know Christopher Bell, Tyler Reddick, Kyle Larson, three right off the bat that love to use the high line, aren't afraid to use the high line, and then they're going to force everybody else up there. So, again, I'm really curious to see if that's where you can find the most speed, or if we see something similar to Xfinity like we saw last year, where guys were able to wrap the bottom and find speed in other lanes.
I love this track. Yeah. I love how it puts drivers. It really makes them force the decision, and it's so many different lines, so many different strategy calls on the pit road, when to pit, how long do you run out. We saw it with Tyler Reddick last year, where his crew chief, you know, like, threw a Hail Mary, and everything worked out for them because the caution fell. Like, this is such a great track, and it really showcases not only drivers' abilities, but the crew chiefs on the top of the pit box and when they make their calls.
Think how much better it would be with an option tire.
Oh, my
goodness. No, don't do that.
This is, I will say, I'm all for the option tire.
Not here,
though. This is one of the tracks.
You don't need it.
Just
don't
step away. No,
touch
we're good.
It. Don't touch it.
When we come back, white flag laps.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name. Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corley Joy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago, to care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit SpeedwayCharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Time now for our white flag laps. And first up from the CW and NBC, Kim Kuhn.
Oh, me first. White flag's going to be the fact that I loved that Morgan Freeman was the Grand Marshal. I know that his enthusiasm in Gentlemen, Start Your Engines maybe wasn't as high as we've seen other people do, but to hear his voice say those words was so iconic to me. And I know it can't happen every weekend, but getting more big names in roles like that, I think is huge for NASCAR.
You know, I listened to it and I thought, what else do we expect Morgan Freeman to do?
It was very apropos. It was like exactly how I expected him to do it. So I was not disappointed at all. I was like, this is amazing. The voice of God is giving the race command.
I mean, he was not going to be Kevin James.
No. Not rolling on the floor, any of that. So.
Like you said, it was kind of the voice of God there. Next up from The Athletic, Jordan Bianchi.
It's great that 2311 and Trackhouse have come into the NASCAR Cup Series the last few years, and they have brought so many new inventive ways to promote the sport, to better the sport, and they deserve all the credit in the world for that. At the end of the day, though, this is still a cool sport because of its roots. And there's nothing more old school, nothing more heritage than the Wood Brothers. And to seeing them in victory lane to celebrate their 101st victory is a treat. And to do it on a track that isn't a super speedway where you can take all of the other stuff out of the equation, they earned this win. They did it the right way. This old school Wood Brothers in victory lane in Las Vegas is as good as it gets. It's good for NASCAR to see a team like this, a heritage team whose roots of the sport date back to NASCAR's founding, have a moment like that.
I agree with you. And that was what I was going to talk about. We talked about it earlier. You never hear anybody say, "Oh man, I can't believe those guys got the victory lane." maybe it's, you know, if we didn't win, I'm glad the Wood Brothers could win. 75 years in the sport, 101 wins, and it took them a long time to get to 100. There was a long gap in there, and now it's consecutive years, and that hadn't happened for the Wood Brothers in a long, long time. But throughout the garage area, folks are happy to see the Wood Brothers get back to victory lane. And Josh Berry and what we've seen the team so far this year, I wouldn't be surprised to see him make at least another trip, maybe two more trips to victory lane this year. It's a feel-good story, and that was one of the great things coming out of Las Vegas. You didn't get four in a row from Christopher Bell, but you did get a feel-good story of the Wood Brothers and a first-time winner and a guy who, as we talked about, is not a teenager. He's been around for a while, paying his dues. He got that trip to victory lane, too. Feel good stories, a way to go about it. So who do you like at
Homestead this week, Kim?
I like Kyle Larson to sweep the weekend because he's in that 17 Hendrick Motorsports Xfinity Series car.
All right, we'll see how it plays out. Jordan, we're out of time. Larson. I'm sorry. Larson, yeah. No bees.
Yeah. Talking with
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.